If you've ever farted so hard your grandma's dentures fell out of your mouth, you've come to the right podcast. Hey guys, I'm one half of the Bro-io podcast. I'm the delicious Nickalicious.
And I'm Rob Dog. We are now known as the Cruise Boys.
I'm just a nine boy.
Not the Island Boys, the Cruise Boys.
I'm just a cruising boy. Whew. Jacking off. That was really small cabins to be jacking off in those.
Yeah, they're pretty small, but it was all right.
Yeah, dude.
Well, beds weren't that bad for as shitty as it was, man.
Dude, I had a perfect experience.
Yeah, I did too.
That's right, guys. We're back from our cruise. We're back from our siesta. There was some other extenuating circumstances that prevented us from doing the podcast, including a cease and desist from Warner Brothers Media. I'm just kidding. You guys thought something really bad.
I was like, what? Really? Like, damn, who'd we piss off?
Oh, who we make mad now?
So you singing Creed?
When you are with me, I'm Scott Stapp. Oh, yeah, man. I had to get foot surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was the first chance, was the first time in over a week. I got the surgery on...
It was Monday.
A week today.
Yeah, last Monday.
Yesterday was the first day I was able to get down the steps to come down here and kind of straighten everything back out because I had it torn apart from when we left for the cruise. I had a little fracture, but the biggest problem was I had a cyst tangled up in my tendons.
Yeah.
Fucking awful surgery. But we'll get into the surgery here in a second.
Sure.
We'll get into all.
Yeah, we got a lot. I feel like it's going to be a lot of talking before we actually get into the subjects. We got a lot to go over.
Yeah. So let's say thank you to Jessica Kirby. Oh my God, Jessica. Thanks for the Patreon pledge. Fuck.
Next, you're going to give me this fucking one. Hootie Hoo Keenan. I think that's how you say it.
Thanks, Bowie. Appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
How about Derek Fleener? Fleener the Wiener. Thanks for being here, Big D. We appreciate you, pal. Thanks for being on the Bro-io podcast.
Jay Caller.
Caller. That's kind of fucking hot, dude. Anytime I get to talk about dudes and collars, I'm rocked up.
Hell yeah.
Hard PP. Ronald Walls. Till the sweat drips down your balls. Thank you, Ronald L. Walls, for the Patreon pledge, buddy. We love you.
Tina Britton. Thank you very much, Miss Britton.
Is that Britain or Britain?
Britain.
Britain. Tina Britain.
Either way, she's British.
She sounds like the kind of girl that had braces whenever she's younger.
Oh, I'm sure. Probably still does.
Probably, you know, drove the boys wild with the braces and shit.
Got the old pube catchers.
Thanks, Tina. We appreciate you. How about Maddie Pronk? Drunk Pronk. I had some conch fritters in the Bahamas. Those are delicious. But in terms of Maddie fritters, I never had those.
Pronk with the donk.
Thanks, Maddie P. We appreciate you. Or is that Maddie or Matey?
I think it's Maddie.
Matey.
We just make shit up anyways. Seth Albright, thank you very much, sir.
Albrighty. You get it?
That was good. Well played.
Beto Mosquito. Thanks for being here.
That's what I call it when I jack off. Gotta go, Beto Mosquito.
My dick's about the size of a mosquito. Yeah,
got the old mosquito dick.
Not the whole mosquito, but like the size of a mosquito dick.
Yeah. Scout. Thanks, Scout.
Scout, you're a great dog.
I hope that's your name.
Good, solid golden retriever. Thanks, Scout.
Right.
How about Cowboy Willie?
Oh, man, that's my favorite part of a cowboy.
He said, I'm here. I want some fucking ribeyes. Old Cowboy Willie. Thanks, buddy.
Mike Northup. Thank you very much.
Oh, boy. How about River Montana? When the Red River's flowing, you just take the brown dirt road. River Montana, thanks for being here, big buddy.
Harry Paratestes. Thank you very much, Harry Paratestes. Really appreciate you.
Got us again. Yeah. How about Damien Trepton. That is a tricky word there. Damien. Well, my brother had a friend named Damien growing up. Weirdest motherfucker I ever met in my life.
Smelled like cat piss.
You know, he was really good at video games, dude.
Of course he was.
Like Sega and shit.
Parents didn't love him.
Thanks, Damien.
Candace Drago. Thank you very much, Candace.
Last but not least, Hannah loves bananas, as in cock bananas. Thanks, Hannah. Thanks for being here.
God bless you, Hannah.
If you want to get ad-free content, access to other shit for $1 a month, go to patreon.com/Bro-io podcast. I think I'll skip the article this week, Rob.
Yeah, man, I feel like we should.
Because we got so much to talk about.
Hold on to that for next week.
We would like to say thank you to everyone that came on the cruise.
Yeah, it was a good time. Good meeting everybody.
I wish I could name every name that was on that boat with us. But thank you. The plan is tentatively, and I don't even know if I've talked to you about this.
Nope.
About a year from now, do the same thing, but we're going to do kids welcome on the trip. So it's going to be a kid-friendly trip, not necessarily for the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there'll be other arrangements, some type of ideas going around. But it'll be a trip where you and your whole family can come. Because at the end of the day, while me and Robert are super cool fucking podcasters, we're even better daddios, just like the dad on Bluey. He's a good dad, good fucking dad, solid blue heeler dog. He's good. He's cool dude. But me and Robert, we're good fathers. We love our kids, and I know I can probably speak for his wife. I don't know about him, but there's 1,000 times in that trip where I said, I wish the kids are with us.
Yeah,
this.
She did. She said next one we're gonna bring them. So yeah. Yep, we're right there with you,
and we're gonna do that.
Me, I'm like.
No, leave me home.
No, no, I love the kids.
There's a tentative live show in August in Buffalo, New York. I know that's a long way
off.
I'll
say August, damn.
August with Hillbilly.
Yep.
Tentatively. So we'll be coming to New York.
Hell yeah.
New York. Are we still okay on the YouTube?
Let me think so. Looks like it.
All right.
Potentially.
That's fine.
Potentially a Dayton, maybe.
Yep. Dayton one soon. And then Texas within the next 3 to 4 months.
Yep.
Keep you posted on that.
Might have to push it back for the beginning of the year, but we'll get to you guys.
We are. We're going to get to you. We had so much fun on the trip. Royal Caribbean, can't recommend them enough. You guys want to take a nice cruise. Skip Carnival. Skip Norwegian.
Yeah.
Go to Royal Caribbean. Cheap prices. Great drinks. Great food. Super clean. They take care of you.
I've done all three of those cruise lines in the Royal Caribbean one. This was by far our favorite one that we've done.
Hell yeah.
Skip the Bahamas. Don't go to the Bahamas, but just stay on the boat that day. But
it didn't matter where I was at on that boat.
Yeah.
Somebody was ready to bring me some alcohol.
For sure. Yeah.
No matter. If I was in the middle of the pool, there's a little pool boy flagging me down.
Coco K fucked, man. That place was a great time.
I heard there was a spot there, like a club, that it was just wild.
The fucking pool was.
Okay, that's probably where you guys were.
Yeah, we were with another couple there. Yeah. We were hanging out with them, and it was a fucking party.
We went to the old people side, South Beach. Beautiful over there, calm, motherfucking jellyfish everywhere.
Yeah.
Them bitches were sailing past me, and I'm like, I did not want to get stung by a jellyfish.
Yeah, we were out there in the fucking water, and they had like these tables in the water when you had like the water bar that you could like swim up to, and than shit to get up out there, get actually on the on the dock, but they had little tables, and there was a whole bunch of jellyfish out there, so we kind of got freaked out. But
that's perfect.
That's when we went to the pool. But yeah, it was a great time. Thanks to everybody that came.
It was a great time. Now let me tell you this.
Sure, tell me.
I had this foot surgery.
Mm-hmm.
They put me under for it, Rob.
Yeah, you're scared, man.
Scared shitless to be put under.
Mm-hmm.
Literally sitting up at night, sick to my stomach, being worried about being put under.
No, I was ready with the malpractice lawsuit, man. I was ready for it.
You like, look right here. He was worried about it. It's documented.
I had my lawyer on the line, and we were ready, man.
No, Stacy's grandpa broke his hip. He was fine. They put him under. When he came out of anesthesia, full-blown late-stage dementia. Couldn't remember a fucking thing. So I thought I was either going to die or get full-blown...
Or get dementia.
Dementia.
God damn, what would I have done, man?
Yeah, dude.
forget about your wife and the kids. What would I have done?
Prop me up like a weekend at Bernie's over here. So here's what happened. The night before, I took a shower. They said the night before, take a shower with antibacterial soap.
Mm-hmm.
I said, all right, that's cool.
That's cool.
I don't know how to do that.
You're sitting on there with a bunch of hand soap, like fucking Dial.
No,
just
no, Dial Gold is my favorite soap.
I love it, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I keep in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So I Dial Gold my body the night before.
Yeah, you did. I figured you did. That's what you did.
I did.
That's what I would have done, too. Yep. This shit smells good.
And then I get out of the shower, I go to put on my underwear, and when I'm putting on my underwear, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I said, note to self. That's all I'm saying right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is I said, note to self. All right, so I finish getting dressed.
I know where this is going.
I get ready for bed. I go to sleep. I wake up. I put on some sweatpants.
This is such a good story.
I put on some sweatshorts and crocodilians and a white shirt, whatever.
Yeah.
But we go to surgery. It starts at 12. I got to be there at 12. They take me back almost immediately. Mm-hmm. They put me in a little area where they start getting the surgery stuff going.
Yeah.
She's like, "Are you the guy that was on the cruise?" I'm like, "Yeah." She said, "How was it?" I said, "It was great. It was actually for my podcast I do." She's like, "Oh, I love podcasts." She said, "My favorite podcast is Last Podcast on the Left."
Oh, damn.
I said, "Well, I've got something to tell you because
if you want a watered down podcast on the Last Podcast on the Left,
you think those guys are cool, funny, and fresh, then you should maybe check out the Bro Ohio podcast." So she's like, "Oh my God." She's like, "I'm going to subscribe right now." There's an older lady and a younger lady. Nicest people ever.
Yeah.
Nicest people. They took really, really good care of me, getting me ready. And then she says, "Okay, just go ahead and get in the gown and then we'll get you hooked up and stuff." They had to take my blood and all that stuff. So she steps out and I drop trowel right away. And, as soon as I dropped trowel, I remember what the note to self was. I was at the bottom of my underwear drawer because I took all my good underwear
to the cruise.
Yes. And I was getting to the bottom of the barrel. I got one pair of Duluth underwear that have always been my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But these things don't have a crotch left on them. Like, they are not attached anywhere anymore, bro. There's probably a good 10, 11, 12 inch hole in the bottom of these underwear.
So it doesn't even have like a middle seam or anything. It's just blown out.
My balls hang down lower than the underwear do.
Hell yes.
My dick and balls hang down lower than the underwear.
Those are your sexy underwear.
They're a kilt. They're essentially a kilt. They're like edible underwear. They're just
your crotchless panties.
They're holding on to nothing.
Hell yes.
I dropped trowel there in the surgery, triage area. And I said, "Oh my fucking God, I'm wearing these crotchless underwear."
That's fucking hot.
This lady's already subscribing to the podcast.
You're already giving her the show.
I said, "My balls, my dick and balls," which, you know, I wasn't sweating too bad. They're fucking nurses, whatever. But she came back and they cut it up with my wife and I. My wife was there for me every second step of this.
Yeah, she was giving me play-by-plays the entire time. She's like, "Oh my God, he is wearing these underwear and his nuts are hanging out of them."
Bad, dude. My balls are all the way out.
Yeah.
So I start reasoning with myself. I said, "All right, I'm just going to keep my shit tight. I'm going to sit like a lady for the rest of this trip. I'm going to keep my crotch kind of tight. Keep my knees pinned together."
You have that kind of control?
Well, I'm trying to reason with myself at this point. I'm trying to talk myself into thinking I have that kind of control.
Yeah.
And they come back and they're taking my blood and putting the IV in me and shit. And then they said, "All right, it's time to take you back to surgery." And I am squeezing my fucking knees together so tight. Like I'm the eternal virgin waiting to have my soul taken. And when they're wheeling me to surgery, I'm just like, "Please God, don't let them fucking, they're operating on the side and top of my foot."
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason for them to be up in my balls.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, please don't let these people, because they're probably expecting, you know, if they go above my waist, they're like, "It's all right. The guy's got on underwear." Then they're going to get me, who's got like fucking dog meat just laying down there, you know, blown out underwear.
Dog meat.
Dick, balls, ass, hairy taint. I still had sand in my crotch from the cruise. Yeah, I was fucked up, bro.
I think I still do, man.
But so I'm laying in the OR, and they said, "We're going to need a block for him." And I was like, "What?" And they said, "Well, roll over. We're going to put a block under your left buttocks."
Oh, no.
To kind of tilt your body. But they got like covers. They got me like blankets and covers.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I roll over to get the block under my butt cheek. Boop, lights out, dude. Gone. Just faded away. You ever been put out before?
No. Whenever I was younger, but I don't really remember it.
Oh, dude. It's like someone took your fucking batteries out. It's like someone Y2K happened. They took your batteries out.
I got tubes when I was like 7 and they put me under, but I don't really remember it.
It's what it feels like to die. Just like nothing happens.
Sweet.
as soon as I go to sleep, I remember the fleeting thought, right? As I'm when I'm rolling over, showing my ass, I'm thinking like,
please don't look at my balls.
I'm thinking like, hey, watch out back there. You're going to get the fucking fruit bowl going to fall out on you. I roll over and they cram the block under my left butt cheek and I go to sleep.
Yeah.
Then instantly I'm back awake.
Mm-hmm.
When I wake back up, the surgery's done. It was like that quick. As soon as I rolled over, and they said, how you feeling? And I'm like, oh, it feels like you guys removed my left butt cheek. It's because that block was still under my butt, and they didn't realize it.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, he's got the block under. They took the block out. And I'm just sitting there coming back to, and I'm like, all right. I wonder if they had to move my gown. And I reached down to feel my body, to feel the gown. No gown. You know, I've had like... I've had really aggressive sex with my wife where I like lay her down and I fucking grab her bra and I push it up near her chin or whatever.
Yeah.
You start fucking going, argh!
Yeah, yeah.
Mean mad sex. That's where my gown was. This shit was balled up underneath the whole entire fucking.
They were fucking the shit out of you.
Whole entire 6 foot gown.
He's like, pull his tits out. Pull his fucking tits out. I don't see him bounce.
I knew that little slut was wearing crotchless fucking underwear. The gown is balled up under my chin. It's like the doctor just fucking.
He's fucking choking your ass with
it. He's beating taters on me, dude.
So you come here wearing your fucking sexy underwear.
Yeah,
you're getting it, boy.
You think that you can just walk in here with your little balls hanging out?
Oh, God.
You think you can just walk in here with your little fucking balls hanging out? Not get it. And that's what happened to me, dude. And,
God.
I didn't feel any trauma on my on my crotch or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel any trauma
Shit.
On my rear end.
Maybe he was a top.
Nobody made any remarks about my underwear either.
He just fucking wrote it.
He might have just started to get into it and crammed it up near my chin and then...
Just sucked in your balls a little bit.
Gave it away. He said, oh, no. Oh, he's got sand in there.
This tastes like jellyfish.
Yeah, dude, it was something else, but my foot still fucking hurts so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, you're all bruised. We got a good look at it earlier. It's
a mess.
You're fucking mangled.
Says your stream will end shortly unless you restart it in the streaming software.
Aw.
Let me pause this over here.
Okay.
All right, we're fixing the YouTube stream. But if you've ever had your butt beaten up during surgery, send us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com. Dude, anesthesia's great.
Oh, for sure.
It was really nice. I'm going to take this YouTube out because it's distracting me.
Okay.
I don't fucking care.
One of my favorite things is to watch the videos of people coming out of the anesthesia, and they're high as fuck.
Well, they said, well, how you feeling? I said, it feels like you guys removed my left butt cheek.
Yeah.
I said, oh, God, move the block. And I started freaking out a little bit. And I said, I wonder if they got my gown. And I felt it up, crammed up under my chin. Whoa. Jesus. I'm looking for the doctor. I don't see him. So he hit it, quit it, and forget it. He got out of there.
Maybe they really didn't intubate you. They fucked your throat.
the doctor is a big, handsome black fellow. And I was...
Oh, yeah, you're fucked. That's exactly what happened.
If I was going to give it away, he'd be a good one to start with, for sure.
He intubated you in a way.
He was handsome, and he said, you know what? We're gonna help you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Thank fucking God, because I feel like shit. My foot fucking hurts so bad. Okay, should I... OBS reconnection successful.
Okay.
Is it awful on YouTube? Are they complaining at all on there?
No, nobody said anything. It doesn't look to be shit. I mean, any more so than what it usually is.
Okay.
They're watching us. You guys know what to expect.
Yeah, dude, I'm sorry. Sorry to all of you, but let's talk about Marcus Wesson.
All right,
let's do it. The Vampire King Murder.
That's a fucking awesome moniker right there. The Vampire King. I like it.
Probably had himself a big old dick.
Oh, for sure. I saw the pictures of him. He definitely did.
I bet he had a little wiener.
Nah, no way.
And you're going to find out why.
With hair like that?
Through this story. Nothing would get us back on track better than an incestuous murder kind of kidnapping situation.
Oh, yeah.
I had a lot of good topics going through my head. internet hoaxes I was kind of going through.
Ooh, that's fun. I like those type of episodes because it gives a lot of time to bullshit.
Yeah, there was a lot of good ones. And then there was another, like, a couple other murders.
We need to do that one. That's a good one.
And a good, maybe we can do it later this week.
I have a topic that I want to, touch on.
Bet you do.
Eventually, you know, I want to do, like, one on old school, like, internet shock videos.
Oh, okay. Like Mr. Hands and
Mr. Hands and Two Girls One Cup, those.
You know, Two Girls One Cup didn't faze me at all because it was fake poop. There's no way that was real poop. You know what I mean?
There's no way it was shit from an ass.
That was not shit from an ass.
Shit from a butt.
I pull up this TikTok video earlier. This guy drinking coffee in the woods. He's like, "Wipe your ass. Keep wiping your ass. Wipe your ass until there's no more brown." And that was it.
Man, it's fucking hard. Okay, I am going to backtrack a little bit here. That fucking Cruise toilet paper, holy fucking shit. They do not want you flushing with wipes. You bet your fucking ass after the first time I shit, I broke out the wipes. Because I was going to follow the rules because they were going to charge you if your toilet clogged up.
Yeah.
I just three wipes flush, three wipes flush. Dude, my asshole...
You are such a little...
Dude, my asshole was like hamburger meat, like the first time after I shit in that Cruise. Oh, man.
That was the most wretched my stomach has felt in a long time.
We ate so much.
There's so much food and so much alcohol.
Yeah.
I literally couldn't... My body couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Hurting my butt.
Dude, yeah, man.
When I come back for that surgery, they did something to my butt, too.
Your butt just hasn't been the same. It's had a hard 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're awfully young for a colonoscopy. I'm like, that's not what I was supposed to have done, Doc. Oh, man. Yeah, so we're going to be talking about Marcus Wesson. He's the Vampire King. No, he's not a real vampire. He's just a raging psycho.
Is he a king, though?
Oh, he a king.
Oh, hell yeah.
He a king for sure.
Yeah, good deal.
He was born August 22nd, 1946. Long time right around World War II.
Same year Jerry Pauly was born.
Old ass motherfucker, yeah. No, Jerry was born in 36.
Okay, I got that wrong. I love those two. Jerry's awesome.
Jerry's named after the fucking mouse on the cartoon. That's how old he is.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, he was born in Kansas. What an exciting state to be born in.
Right.
And he was the eldest of four children. His parents were members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Of course they were.
Man, and the Seventh-day Adventists, they have a lot of emphasis on the second coming of Christ. They're, for lack of a better term, they're some fucking Looney Tunes. They're some wild-ass people.
More so than the others?
No. Not really.
Okay. But the Holy Rollers, how do they compare to them?
They each have their different brands of crazy.
For sure, for sure.
They're all crazy. Marcus's mother, now she was the one that was ate up with religion, and his dad, he wasn't quite as ate up with the religion. He was actually, Marcus's dad was actually a slobbering drunk.
Like, here, here.
Like Robert and I. Yeah, buddy, he was a slobbering drunk. His dad used to beat the shit out of him, and he would beat his siblings as well. He had three siblings. But he would, his dad would go on to leave. He would leave the family while Marcus was very young. But he left with his male cousin, with whom he was in a homosexual relationship with.
Of course he was. Because why not?
If you've ever left your kids because you were gay and you're fucking your cousin, send us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com.
I feel like our inbox is going to be flooded with emails of that one.
Well, it's going to be my fucking underwear flooded right now, buddy, just talking about this.
You ain't wearing the holy ones, are you? Just going down your leg, if you
yeah, no. As soon as we got home. Oh, she was doing laundry yesterday, and she walked by me. She had them in her hand.
Yeah.
She said, "I'm throwing these away." And I said, "Please, do me a favor. Throw those away."
You got to get someone who can knit. They can crochet you a cool pattern in there.
I want to take all my crotchless underwears and have my mom turn them into a t-shirt.
That fucking t-shirt smell like balls.
I'm calling my mom right now.
Balls and ass.
I'm calling her.
She ain't going to answer.
You think she'll do it?
No. She would do it. But she ain't going to answer. We'll see if she answers.
She'll answer.
Yeah. For now. And then she'll hang up.
She might be sleeping.
Hello?
Mom?
Son?
What are you doing?
Trying to get to my phone.
Oh. Hey, you know when, like, people die and then they make, like, the blankets out of their old shirts?
What now?
You know, like, when people die and they take all their old shirts and then they turn them into, like, a blanket?
Uh-huh.
I was going to see if you would do something like that for me, but I want you to use all my old underwear.
No, because your underwear, from what I get, has holes in it. And plus, you have sharded in your underwear so many times. It has ruined the underwear. And you're doing a podcast.
No, I was trying to, and then you started being nasty, so I had to stop recording it because you're being so freaking nasty, Mom.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's a Monday night, and I was stupid enough to answer the phone.
No, I was trying to, but you're being so gross. Talking about me having accidents.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's one of the other reasons why you were... Why you rode the short bus.
I gotta go, Mom. I love you. I love you. Bye.
She's so fucking awesome.
She's trying to tune me up. She's coming for blood.
She was, man.
She accused me of being going to special school.
Yeah, she did. She fucking hit you with that 1-2 Tyson combo.
Bitch used to walk me to the bus stop. She knows I rode to a full size.
Oh, man. She was the one that bought your helmet, so it's okay.
Dude, she scrubbed poop stains out of my underwear for a lot of years.
Yeah. She's put up with a lot.
This is back before boxers and briefs were a thing. It was only right. Strictly tighty-whities.
Yeah. Can you imagine how many fucking tighty-whities you went through?
That business was tight and white. That's all that business was.
You kept them in business.
Dude, I remember when I was a kid, I'd pull my underwear down and just be like, what the fuck? I don't like... I didn't shit myself.
Where did that come from?
Always, man. I just be like, God damn. What the man. What the fuck? There's no way I pooped my pants today.
I do that now as an adult?
But then as I got older... I realized if you sit on something pointy, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of sit on a ledge somewhere where the ledge kind of goes up your butt crack.
Yeah, and it rubs in your asshole.
You're going to get a doo-doo stain.
Yeah. I play a dangerous game every now and then where I'll sit down and I'm like, is this sweat or is it shit? And then I'll wipe, and sometimes it'll be clean and sometimes it'll be poopy. And I'm like, okay.
And who's our next contestant on? Is it sweat or shit? Robert from the Brohio Podcast, celebrity guest. He's a celebrity guest on. Is it sweat or is it shit?
Depends on how gassy I am. I can usually guess, like, oh, this is going to be poopy.
Yeah. Have you ever left your family for a gay cousin?
Not yet.
Still time?
All my cousins are straight that I know of. So.
Yeah, not until they meet me. Who's that big boy with the crotchless panties on? Now, they wouldn't stay in Kansas for very long as they made their way, a little further west to San Bernardino, California.
Ooh, yeah.
What a shithole that place is. Everything in California is a shithole right now.
Mm-hmm.
They did this when Marcus was very young. Love California, but they got to get that shit under control. Gas, $7 a gallon.
Too many fucking people.
Homeless people. I was at, we went to Alcatraz, me and my buddy Roy. Yep. We get off the boat coming back, and we go on the boardwalk. There's two guys just fucking making out. Okay?
Like homeless guys or just normal dudes?
Just two normal guys just making out.
Just in love?
I start jacking off, and the cops run up and start yelling at me about that and don't say anything to them about the way they're kissing. So how am I supposed to feel about that state for someone like me who's just visiting? Sure. You see something culturally shocking like that. I've never seen two guys make out in front of me before.
Yeah.
And it fucking got me all,
got
me all ooey gooey. You know, like when you make brownies, you don't cook them all the way through.
Oh, yeah.
That's what my fucking crotchless panties did. I had the ooey gooeys. Yeah, I know there's a lot of ladies that be listening to this podcast. When you slide in bed with your man tonight, just grab his hand and shove it down your shorts and say, hey, baby.
Shorts. So unattractive.
Shove it down your trousers and say, sweetheart, I got the ooey gooeys. Tell your husband you got the ooey gooeys. And
oh, please do.
Send us an email.
Yeah, if you do that, please send us an email.
Can we fuck? Sweet. I got the ooey gooeys.
Oh my god, I got the ooey gooeys.
That's so fucking hot.
Oh hell yeah, girl. God, I wish you're my sister. Oh man, what the fuck?
Should have fucking known this one was gonna be off the rails.
Yeah, dude. Now, the notes weren't very long for this, so like we gotta stall a little bit on this one.
That's good. We do a good job.
We're halfway there. So there his dad is fucking his cousin out in the barn behind the house. Two guys getting it on hard. And then his dad looks at his cousin and says, "We got to get out of here. I got to leave these stupid fucking kids." So his dad took off, left him. Marcus and his mom and his siblings, they're there. They set sail to San Bernardino, California. And he pretty much flunked out of high school. Oh, he's a dumb shit.
Okay.
But
makes sense.
And I shouldn't call Marcus a dumb shit. For everyone that spoke of Marcus, they said he possessed exceptional intelligence. He had a flowery, excuse me, almost perked on my, puked on myself.
I was going to say.
That was one of them daily doubles from McDonald's.
That's almost a projectile vomit there.
You ever had a daily double from McDonald's?
No. What is that?
It's a McDouble, but it's meat and cheese.
Sounds like a prize.
Dude, it's so good. They're so good. They're sneaky. You don't see them on the menu. It's a McDouble, but there's no pickles or onions or mustard or ketchup. So okay. It's just beef and cheese,
mm-hmm.
and then lettuce, tomato, and mayonnaise.
Okay.
And it's delicious. It's perfect.
I don't fuck with the tomato, but
and onions. There's onions on there too.
Okay.
It's really good.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. So there his dad was fucking his cousin out. We're already past that point.
Yeah, we're past. he's smart, but he's stupid.
Yeah, he possessed exceptional intelligence. They said he had a really advanced vocabulary. He could kind of talk circles around everybody, but he was just kind of so fucking weird and out there that mm-hmm. people didn't even really like to talk to him very much. But yeah, he was a really smart guy, so he didn't necessarily flunk out of high school. He just said, "I'm fucking done with high school."
Yeah.
But it's 1960 something. Everybody was done with high school in 1960 something.
You'd still be a doctor. You'd fucking drop out and still be a doctor in the 60s. Yeah,
it's different.
Yeah. This. I mean, you could still be fucking smart, but still do bad in school.
For sure.
I mean, it's like, their fucking education system's a little weird. So.
And whenever he dropped out of school, he went ahead and joined the army because be
sure
all that you can be. And he was an ambulance driver in the Army, and it got me thinking about all the fucking dumb jobs. I've had a lot of friends over the years that have been in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of, like, I don't know what it is about the Army, but a lot of these guys, I say, hey, what? I always say, what's your MOS? Like, what's your military occupational specialty? And I don't even think they really call it an MOS anymore, but when you ask somebody that, they know what you're asking
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I say, what do you do in the Army? What's your MOS? And some guy's like, security forces, infantry. And then I had one buddy, he's like, I just fucking folded tents for 4 years. What? You did what? I just folded tents. The other guy was like, really, I did like pumped up basketballs and stuff. I was supply sergeant.
Hell yeah.
Oh, he just pumped up basketballs. He's like, I'd set up the volleyball nets. If you pay people to do that shit, the U.S. military pays people to fold fucking tents and blow up volleyballs.
It's a glorified gym teacher.
And here I am, you know, thousands of dollars in debt. Uncle Sam, help me. Give that guy folding tents a break. Help me out a little bit, you know? Give that guy blowing up volleyballs. Give him a 15. Give him a smoke break. Help me out. Shit. And that just got me thinking, what a bunch of dumb fucking jobs in the Army. Well, dude, I'm so thankful for all of you that have dedicated your lives to serving in the U.S. military.
Oh, yeah.
Defending and protecting us. Thank you. My hat's off to you. But to you guys in there folding tents in the Army, where do you get off? You know what? Someone folding a tent in the Army, probably same guy that gets like one of them tattered flag tattoos on his forearm, gets, we the people on the back, we the people on the back of his truck.
The big window tent.
On the back of his Colorado. His,
Silverado.
Chasing freedom, baby. Chasing freedom, bub. But, dude, they can say more than me. I didn't serve.
Nah, fuck no, I never would.
I served myself a fat-ass pumpkin pie from McDonald's earlier.
I'm too worried about myself, man. Fuck the country. Okay, I don't want to die.
I served that that doctor a big old dose of my balls during that fucking foot surgery.
Yeah, I'll fucking serve my toilet a big pile of shit, but that's about all I'm serving.
What if he flipped my robe up and said, "God damn, those are the biggest balls." He'd say, "Huge balls, tiny dick."
Same here, brother.
He'd say, "This boy's got a big old set of balls on him." All right. Shortly after leaving the army, Marcus shacked up with Rosemary Solorio.
Got to go after them women that are named after spices.
The crazy Hispanic women.
Or herbs.
Solorio, she sounds like some shit that a witch would put in a bottle. Yeah, my darling, drink this Solorio. So he shacks up with this lady named Rosemary Solorio. She had some baggage, though, buddy.
What was that baggage?
She had 8 kids already.
Jesus Christ.
The pussy was a fucking revolving door.
Yeah, it's a fucking conveyor belt pussy.
Hey, whatever, you're out of the way, I'm coming out, too. Whatever, 8 fucking kids. Woo-wee.
Make room.
Yeah, man, I would throw in the towel. This pussy is going to sleep.
Yeah, things got some miles on it.
So he shacks up with her, and then in 1974, that's kind of when they actually did have 2 kids together.
Okay.
They had a boy and a girl. But in 1974, that's kind of when all this nastiness, the sludge, started with Marcus. Because we've kind of talked about him in a positive light so far. You know, said, "Oh, he's big dude. He's got cool dreads." This was an imposing figure of a man. He was 6 foot tall, 300 or 400 pounds, and he had the biggest mane of dreadlocks I've ever seen on a human.
He's a very intimidating looking dude.
Deep, dark, gray eyes. Just, you know, a scary dude. He was a black male with like black gray dreadlocks. You can look him up. Just look up the Vampire King.
Huge dreadlocks.
Marcus Wesson. He's a scary motherfucker.
Yeah, he's a scary looking dude.
And if this dude popped up in an alley when I was walking through, I know what I would say to him. I'd say, "Let me smell your dreads, dog."
I think I'd just spread my butt.
Yeah. What do things smell like?
He'd be like, "Yes, sir."
"Let me smell those squirrel tails you got hanging on your head there, Daniel Boone." And if he'd have been like, "I'm gonna fucking kill you," like, "I guess so. I guess that's what we're doing. I guess I'm dying tonight. Come take me."
So this is how it ends.
"Don't hurt me. I just had foot surgery."
Show some pity, sir.
But yeah, 1974, that's Marcus started sexually assaulting Rosemary's 8-year-old daughter.
Oh yeah.
Elizabeth Solorio. And yes, when I say sexually assaulting, this is full blown conditioning.
Oof.
Laying in bed with her, nasty petting, progressing into full-blown sexual contact. The sexual abuse never ended, and he would actually legally marry Elizabeth when she was 14 years old and he was 27
years old. Holy shit.
And if you needed any indicator of how fucked up shit is in California, while this was 1974, the laws may have changed since then, but the fact that this was even able to happen... Because, like I said, he legally married this girl when she was 14 years old. And he was double her age. He was 27 years old.
Cancel him. He's canceled.
He is canceled. We're the ones doing it.
Yeah. Can we start this cancel culture?
We're canceling you, Vampire King.
You're canceled, brother.
How come no one's trying to cancel us yet? I think we do.
Don't ask, Matt.
We've done a really good job of walking the dumb line.
But we
don't go over the line, really.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know.
You know, his dad was gay. Like, he was fucking his cousin and shit. Yeah. This guy's dad was gay.
Not only is he gay, but he's incest.
Yeah, his cousin.
Being gay is forgivable. That's kind of cool, but incest?
And when I was doing the research for this, I was sitting there thinking, like, dude, which one of my fucking cousins would I fuck? And I was thinking about it, and then I thought to myself, there's none of them I would fuck. And then I thought a little more and I realized I didn't think about any female cousins at all. I only thought about guy cousins.
Well, there you go.
How cool of me.
I know, right? It's very woke.
So all my cousins listening to this, you're not getting it.
So I hate to break it to you, but...
Yeah. Oh, no. I think Noah listens. I'd fuck him, probably.
I don't really know any of my cousins. So that's a problem.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy, man?
Yeah, because my mom and... The only family that I really know is my mom's side of the family, and... She's one of three girls, and she's the only one with daughters. Or yeah. she's the only one with kids. And then the other two don't have kids. And then the people on my dad's side, those aren't really my cousins. I mean, yeah. My stepdad's side, I should say. I don't know my dad's side of the family, so.
That's crazy, man. Think about how many family members you have out there.
Yeah, that I don't even know about.
Like, blood out there, man, that you don't even know.
I know I got a half-sister.
I got on Ancestry.com.
For sure, but.
And,
I don't do that shit.
A lot of people on there. They say, hey, boy, you Nicholas? Yeah. I said, yeah, dude, who the fuck are you? Talking to all kinds of people on there from the Alexander family tree. I didn't know you had a half-sister.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen her?
No, I've seen pictures of her. I think her name's Rachel. That's about all I know.
Same last name?
No, what my old last name was.
I don't. You can tell me off air, but I don't remember.
No, I don't care. It's Ellis.
Okay. How old? Like, is she your age? Or
a little bit older, I think. Okay. Yeah, I think she was older than me.
You think she would come on the show?
I don't know. I've fucking never talked to her before, so probably not.
You're like, hey, welcome on the show, bitch.
For all I know, she don't even know about me.
No, she might not.
I don't know.
I'll send me in first. I'd be like, hey, tell me what you think of me. Just tell me, like, off the cuff. Just tell me what you think of me right now. And she'd be like, I think you're creepy and fat. You know, I'd be like, well, good, because I'm not the one that's here to see you. There's a much smaller, more handsome version of me. He's right. He's waiting out. He's waiting over here in this Lincoln Town Car. We bring cameras and everything, dude.
Yeah.
People would watch that.
Yeah, it might be fun.
All right. Yeah. So 4 months after they wed, after Elizabeth and the Vampire King, they got married.
Oh.
4 months later, she gave birth to their first child. Marcus and Elizabeth would go on to have 10 children together.
God, could pull out of a fucking driveway.
No, man, he was, she was underage, man.
Yeah, she's, oh my God.
It was fucking gross. And as you'll recall, there were a gaggle of kids living in this house that he moved into. He moved in with Rosemary, and there were 8 kids in there to begin with. Those are all of his, he didn't technically marry her, but he got her knocked up twice. Rosemary, who was much older than him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he knocked up Rosemary's daughter. So he knocked up the mom and the daughter.
Yeah, to keep it in the family.
You gotta keep it all the way in the family. Wait until she's 18.
This is like a fucking Brazzers video.
Yeah, dude, I remember one time I was seeing this girl. She was 17 and I was 18. And she was trying to get in my britches. And I said, no way, Jose. We're not doing this shit.
Attaboy.
You nasty, nasty. And so I had to do the police polygraph test.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm sensing a lot of hesitation. You say you've never been sexually active with a young child before. I'm like, just give me the question about fucking the dog again.
I'm confident with those ones.
There's so many things that I was so sure of that there's no deception. But yeah. He's like, I can't help but think you're lying right now. I'm like, I'm not lying about that, dude.
Yeah, they hit you hard with some of them.
Fuck that shit.
The guy that did mine was convinced that I fucked goats. He was fucking convinced.
Ding, 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 ding.
He hit me out of the blue with, have you ever fucked a farm animal?
And I'm like, what?
I fucked a fish, but not a fish. Is that a fish a farm animal?
I reminded you smelled like scotch a little bit. He's like, you ever fuck a fart? And I'm like, hell yeah, man. fucking a fart before I walked in here, I think.
I stuck my dick in one of them singing bass that are up on a plaque.
Billy Bass.
Yeah, the Billy Bass. Does that count? That thing could suck.
You know those birds, you push the button and they repeat what you say? I love that toy growing up.
Mine just went.
What the fuck, man? We gotta go.
Sorry, man.
What if, Wally went cracker? Jesus, dude. As you'll recall, like I said, there was a gaggle of kids living in the house that he moved into. One of Elizabeth's sisters, whom had, so one of the girls that lived in the house when he initially moved in, she had 7 kids. She was hooked on drugs. So she said, and these 7 kids, they were being sexually abused by other people in the house.
Oh, God.
They were having fucking cigarettes put out on them and shit.
Oh,
bad life. So this drug addict chick says, how about I just give you these 7 kids? And then Marcus and his wife, his young wife, Elizabeth, I think that's her name, yeah.
I don't think you can just do that.
They just took the 7 kids.
Yeah, you can't just barter children.
So for fuck's sake, he's got these 7 kids that were given to him. They had 10 kids of their own, and then there were 10 kids in this house to begin with when they first moved in.
Holy shit.
I have no idea at any given point how many kids were in one house with this guy. It's hard to tell. But it was a colony of humans, and they're all fucking related, too. But with the addition of these 7 kids being gifted to him, Marcus would actually have a pretty good lifestyle living off of welfare. But he also faced, he didn't do a very good job with his welfare, because he was actually charged with welfare fraud and perjury 1 year. And it was because when he was filling out his welfare paperwork, he failed to mention that he owned a boat. So,
oh, God.
But the funny part about the boat was, when you think of somebody owning a boat, like, you know, they got a little recreational hot rod boat or a little fishing boat, he was living on the boat with all these people.
Oh, my gosh.
That was like his residence there.
Holy shit.
A bunch of people in this, like, 28-foot-long boat.
Damn.
I don't know, man.
Can't hide money.
Yeah. It was a rickety-ass boat,
I'm sure it was.
Enough to get him some welfare fraud charge. Oh, my God. I'm falling apart over here.
Wow.
Have a little sip.
Take another drink of bourbon. That'll help. That'll help the hiccups.
All this talk about this guy fucking his cousins got me so discombobulated. Now, part of his poverty is he would... wherever he could find room, shacks, boats, vacant houses, that's where he would stay with his family. Now, Marcus would oftentimes scrounge hamburgers from the McDonald's trash cans to feed his family.
That's a struggle right there.
The old McStruggle sandwich.
The old McStruggle.
You get the McDouble at the window, you get the McStruggle out of the trash can.
The old McDumpster.
In the mid and late 1990s, the family lived in a trailer in a large army tent in the Santa Cruz Mountains on land with no running water. The Wessons also lived for a time in a decaying 63-foot tugboat off the shore of Marin County, California.
Fucking tugboat, holy shit.
Dude, that's every kid's dream, to live in a little tugboat.
Hell yeah.
Sometimes they lived in a school bus. By the late 1990s, the children of Marcus and Elizabeth Wesson were old enough to work, and Mr. Wesson used their money to buy a building in Fresno. So he bought an office space. It wasn't a residential. It wasn't zoned for residential, but he bought like an office space, and he had all these mongoloids living in there. I can call them mongoloids. They're all inbred and shit.
Right.
Not the descendants. So there was no initial inbreeding until they started having kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wild, dude. But yeah, they lived in this office building, and none of the children ever went to school. Marcus taught them at home using flashcards, school textbooks, and his own weird brand of Christianity. He became fascinated with David Koresh. I should know how to pronounce this last name, but it's the guy from the Waco Siege.
Mm-hmm.
The Waco Siege happened in 1993, and kind of the way Marcus Wesson modeled his family was much like the Branch Davidians at the Waco Siege. He got a lot of inspiration from those people on the ranch, and that's kind of the same way he ran his family. So it's a little bit cultish. The nights are getting longer, and the breeze isn't the only thing that's getting stiff. That's right. This episode's sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, we all know that confidence can take you far in life. That's especially true in the bedroom, especially when it's time to step up to the plate. That's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, empty, full stomach. You can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity pops up. And the process is simple. You just go to Blue Chew and sign up. You're going to consult one of their licensed medical providers. And once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's done online. No awkward in-person doctor visits. No waiting and sitting in a waiting room hearing about the old guy's stuff not working next to you. And Blue Chew's made in the USA. 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 I took advantage of the service offered by Blue Chew on my way to the cruise this a couple weeks ago. And folks, I swear to God, my wife, she was excited to be with me at first. By the end, she was trembling. She was running from me, but she was in a playful way. In a playful way, if you know what I'm talking about. I was going round after round after round. I had an insatiable urge that I'd never experienced quite like this round of Blue Chew. That can all be yours, guys. If that's something you're interested in, if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, chew it and do it. Have better sex. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code BROHIO at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code BROHIO to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And as always, we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the BROHIO podcast. And now a word from one of our favorite sponsors, BetterHelp. Something that is very important to a leader and should be important to you and everyone listening to the show, problem-solving skills. I know oftentimes in my life I can face a roadblock, and when confronted with those roadblocks, I've shut down, I've gone to sleep, I've done exactly the opposite of what I needed to do to achieve my goal, and then I'm just putting myself further behind and deeper and deeper into a hole. It can be tough to train your brain to stay in problem-solving mode when faced with a challenge in life. I've been there, guys. It sucks. When you learn how to find your own solutions, there's no better feeling. It's triumphant. It's a good feeling to get over that hump and figure things out, and you feel better, and you live a better quality of life. And you may not realize it, but a therapist can actually help you become a better problem solver, no matter whether that problem is big or small. And I've talked a lot about what therapy helped me achieve in the end, but then I've never really talked about the beginning. I've been there, guys. When you're laying there at night and your brain doesn't stop, you can't turn it off. You can't relax long enough to close your eyes for 10 seconds. The thoughts that are racing through your head don't make sense. They're making you sad. They're making you mad. They're making you upset. They're making you happy for a little bit, then back to sad. And I needed to find a way to get through all that. And I needed to find the bridge to the other side. And that's exactly what BetterHelp helped me achieve. And if you're someone that's laying there at night suffering, your mind's racing, your brain's racing, maybe this is a good alternative for you. We have so many positive reviews for BetterHelp and so many people that listen to the show that have reached out and just said, thank you. It saved my life. It saved my mind. It saved my soul. And if perhaps you are thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, accessible, affordable, and entirely online. You get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey, and you can switch therapists anytime. And when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/BROHIO to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, BetterHelp.com/BROHIO. You know, the Waco siege, some people say that just people, it was just people trying to be free. But then you got people like me who say, that was a fucking cult. That was was a bunch of inbreeding cult, weird motherfuckers right there. But Marcus described himself as Jesus Christ. This is all his teaching curriculum he had for his children. But he said police officers were known as Satan, and he was Jesus Christ. When the family watched television coverage of the Branch Davidian siege, Marcus told the children, quote, "This is how the world is attacking God's people. This man is just like me. He's making children for the Lord. That's what we should be doing, making children for the Lord." And that's what he told his kids, all of these.
Not with your siblings, though.
Right.
And your children.
He would, that's the way he would kind of condition these girls when they were young. He'd say, this is the way. He'd tell them. He'd get in bed with them. Fucking gross. But he'd tell them, say, this is the way a father is supposed to love a daughter.
And
it's our job to bring godly children into the world.
Yeah.
He was doing bad stuff to these kids, man. And the fact that this motherfucker's still alive makes you want to cruise on down to California right now. Kick him right in his presumably small dick. And then push him off of a cliff. Pray that he dies. This guy just deserves to die.
Yeah, I'm definitely not saying that he doesn't deserve that.
And he was very abusive towards his wife and his children. He would beat them with ball bats. He would beat them with electrical cord. I just made that. You might like it. I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff in there.
Cool.
He would beat them with electrical cords, ball bats, sticks, pipes, anything he could get his hands on. He would. There was an incident where there was a 1-year-old child in the house that wouldn't stop crying. He beat the baby until the baby's legs were bleeding.
Oh, my God.
There was all kinds of stories about how badly he would beat the children. There was a
dad?
Yeah, is that you?
Is that you?
Is that Rob's dad? There was one kid, one young boy in the family that got caught stealing a spoonful of peanut butter. And he got beat every night for about 30 days.
That's crazy.
Until Marcus had decided that he got his message across to not steal food.
That's fucking crazy, man.
I dip into the peanut butter jar every night, I think. If I'm hungry and I don't want to waste a lot of time, I get a little spoonful of peanut butter.
Peanut butter's so good.
It is.
Dogs love it. I mean,
dogs love it. That's what I meant. Dogs really love it. Have you did you have the Nutter Butter crumble cookies? Mm-mm. That just came out last week.
Oh, no, we I don't know why we didn't end up going last week.
Oh Lord Jesus, because it's fucking $40 for cookies. That's why
that's
you don't
go. As fuck. No, we've been there like every single week, but we missed out last week.
I got some more ice in there.
Putting hair on my balls.
Yeah, I don't know what was in there. It was a lot of hardcore shit, bro.
I also dumped a little bit of water.
Yep. He did. He prevented his wife from participating in the children's upbringing as well. So once they would have the kids, he would allow no interaction between the mother and the children. It was pretty much
that's so weird.
He was the sole figure. It was very, very weird. He homeschooled the children and taught them from his own handwritten Bible that focused on Jesus Christ being a vampire.
It's fucking handwritten.
I know what y'all motherfuckers thinking right now. You say, who the fuck wrote this Bible? I wrote this motherfucker. We about to talk about my homie Jesus up in this motherfucker. This motherfucker was a vampire. What better way to scare somebody to believing in Jesus? Like, listen, you can choose not to believe, but just remember, this bitch was a vampire.
Like, you listen. This motherfucker died and came back 3 days later. Tell me that motherfucker ain't a vampire.
He was a vampire. This guy might have been onto something. This is a real vampire. He told the children that he, Marcus, was in fact a god.
Oh shit!
And had them refer to him, and he made the children refer to him as master or lord.
Oh damn!
I make my kids call me master.
I'm about to go home and make my wife start calling me lord or master.
Let's call my mom back and ask her, make her call me master.
We are technically lords or sirs.
We are lords. We're our buddy from over the pond. He got that done for us.
Yeah.
He taught the children to be prepared for Armageddon and said that the girls were destined to become Wesson's future wives. Wesson's school curriculum involved teaching the girls oral sex at the young age of 8 or 9 years old.
What?
Their domestic. He also taught them their domestic responsibilities included washing This is not funny, but it's funny. He taught the kids that their domestic responsibilities was washing his dreads and scratching his armpits and head.
Man, I'm a fucking awful dad. I'd never even taught my kids any of that shit.
Hey, get here and scratch your dad's armpits.
Scratch my asshole.
Dude, it freaks me out so bad. Pepper loves
the
taste of deodorant.
Yeah.
She tries so hard to get in my armpits every chance she can get, and it's so fucking weird. She catches me taking a nap or it catches me tripping for a second. Catches me slipping.
Oh, shit.
She's like, blah, blah, blah. I use that really expensive Gillette, like, clinical shit. It's good shit, so. But I can't imagine how dry her fucking mouth is after doing that, dude.
Fucking, our youngest son the other day, we woke up real early to go to a soccer game that was like an hour away, and he was half fucking tired, and he told us he brushed his fucking teeth with cortisone cream. He realized he was like, I just grabbed it because I thought it was toothpaste, and it hit my teeth, and I started spitting it out. Like, dude, come on, man.
This reminds me of this.
He said it was itching cream.
I can't leave that shit laying around.
Like, well, your teeth don't itch anymore, do they?
I remember when I was about his age, I used to tell this joke, and I didn't know what the fuck it meant. I just know every time I told adults this joke, they would laugh really hard.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you this joke.
Okay.
Every time I say a medicine, you say 20 years.
Okay.
Tylenol.
20 years.
Advil.
20 years.
Icy Hot.
20 years.
Been gay.
20 years. You're sitting here spouting this off and they're just fireflies fucking dying.
I used to tell this joke when I was a kid, dude. My dad's buddies, they get all fucking growling at me. Oh, you little fucking fuckhead. What kind of underwear are you wearing? You wearing them Crocsless ones? Come here, let me give you a fucking kiss. Yeah, dude, he had this one really cool friend, dude. He used to kiss me on the mouth.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's actually just my dad wearing a wig is all it was.
Sexy.
My dad, when I was little, he would only kiss me on the mouth when he was wearing a wig. Like the gremlin, like the... He dressed up like the female gremlin.
Was your dad the vampire king?
Yeah, he was.
He did make us call him master.
Holy shit. The girls were not allowed to talk to their male siblings or their mother, but he didn't discriminate. He would beat the shit out of the females and the males. But that was kind of weird how he would completely isolate the boys from the girls, and he wouldn't... He would not let them talk to one another. If they got caught talking to one another, he would just beat them within an inch of their life.
He didn't want them fucking. He wanted to save them for him. Yeah. He wanted the girls to stay ready for him.
That's exactly what it was, man.
Yeah.
And he spent a lot of time kind of, much like the Waco siege, kind of preparing these kids for an Armageddon-like scenario, teaching them that they were, you know, that there was a cause they were all willing to die for. There was... some big plan by God to come back, and they had to defend their, you know, their rights and shit. Really weird situation, but that's kind of what he would force upon them. He told his niece Rosa Solorio. Rosa was also his daughter. Niece and his daughter.
Jeez.
But then he also told his niece Rosa Solorio and his daughter Sabrina Wesson, they were, quote, strong soldiers who would hunt down and kill family members who betrayed him.
Damn.
And who might have to kill the family and themselves to prevent a breakup. So he was instilling in their heads, hey, like, if something happens here, I'm counting on you guys to fucking clean up the evidence, to kill everybody, to kill yourselves. And that's kind of what he was trying to make them do. And this was really weird, but in preparation for whatever... Wesson, even though he's eating goddamn Arby burgers out of the trash can and
the McStruggle burger
getting sued for welfare fraud, somehow he stumbled upon a lot of coffins, not like a lot of them, but a lot, like dozens of coffins.
Okay, damn.
In an antique shop, and he just saw that as the perfect opportunity to be prepared for whatever was going to unfold. So he bought all these coffins, and he took them home, and they were just like in their house. They just had stacks and stacks of coffins.
That's so fucking weird.
He bought these coffins and took them home.
You'd never be too prepared.
Every day we're one step closer to dying.
Rest in peace, Coolio.
Rest in peace, Coolio. For sure, man.
R.I.P.
Been standing most our lives living in the gangster's paradise. That was a good song growing up.
It was really good. Yeah.
One, two, three, four. Get your woman on the floor. Coolio's a shit, man.
You see that fucking tweet that his one buddy posted about? It was like him, Coolio, and the fucking white bitch in the middle. He said something. It's so good, man. It says something like, rest in peace, my homie Coolio. Here's us with some bitch trying to get our meat sauce. something similar to that. Yeah. Don't quote me, but yeah.
I'd be trying to get Coolio's meat sauce.
I was like, hell yeah, man. That's how I want to be remembered.
And kind of like we talked about at the beginning of the episode and the title of the episode, Marcus was obsessed and fascinated by vampires. And he actually gave himself and his daughters and nieces, but remember, his nieces are also his daughter. His daughters are his nieces. He gave everybody vampire names. His name for himself was Java Marcus Spire.
Excuse you.
Which is a mixture of Jesus, Marcus, and vampire. He said, I got a good name. I'm going to put all these motherfuckers together.
I like Jesus. I like vampires. My name is Marcus.
Java Marcus Spire. Java Marcus. Listen, I'm going to spell this.
Java Marcus Spire.
JEVAMMARKSUSPIRE. Java Marcus Spire. Mr. Marcus began sleeping with his daughters and nieces after he got out of jail in 1990. You remember he had the welfare fraud and perjury.
Yep.
Now we flash forward a little bit. According to trial testimony of Ruby Ortiz and Nay Solorio, one of the nieces sent to live with the Wessons, and you'll remember they adopted all these kids from the crackhead sister, Mr. Marcus began molesting her when she was only 8 years old.
Oh, gosh.
Mrs. Ortiz testified that she loved Marcus at the time, and at age 13, enthusiastically agreed to marry him. The marriage ceremony consisted of the couple putting their hands on the Bible and reciting marriage vows. Marcus, quote, married three of his nieces and two of his daughters this way and had children by all of them.
Holy shit.
Marcus fully approved of the, I'm sorry.
You would think he was a Mormon.
Yeah, it's a nasty ass shit. And his wife, Elizabeth, fully approved of these incestuous unions. And you'll remember he married her when she was only 14 years old.
Yeah.
In fact, when Ruby Solorio ran away from home as a teenager, Elizabeth persuaded her to come back to the house to take care of her son, who the father was Marcus, the vampire king. He isolated his children from the outside world and beat her with a stick or a baseball bat when she talked to boys and did not learn her lessons. And despite the abuse, many in the family fondly remember their days with Marcus. He devised entertainment for the family. They did plays, concerts, and ugly contests.
What the fuck? Ugly contests?
An ugly contest is where the children would dress up to be as ugly as possible.
Some of them didn't have to dress up. They had like three noses, like four arms.
That's when I take my pants off for my wife. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's time for the ugly contest.
Yeah. You win.
Here's your prize. The ugly contest.
Yeah, damn, that's bad.
I've heard like playing butt darts and hide the weenie and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But
never like, hey, you want to have an ugly contest? That's the only way I could persuade someone to love me is if I said, let's do an ugly contest.
Yeah, that's, I've played like Who's in My Butt. That's a good game. You got to guess by the wiener in your butt who it is.
There's an advanced there's an advanced edition that we used to play growing up. It's called Whose Nut Is in Your Butt. It's like a fucking, it's another game. You don't get to see the other players.
Yeah.
Who's nuts in your butt? But that's the crazy thing, man. All these kids associated with his family, especially all the boys.
Yeah.
They talked very positively about Marcus. The boys, they said he was the most gentle, caring human that they'd ever met in their entire lives. That he was such an exceptional father. I don't know how he could have been. He had like a fucking thousand kids. But all the boys, you'll remember, were kept away from the girls. Mm-hmm. The girls had to go through different shit. But the boys said he was a kind, gentle soul, caring, thoughtful, articulate, smart, intelligent. He was just an exceptional mind. But.
Yeah.
He's fucking all the girls.
Yeah.
All the little girls, man.
That's such a crazy situation.
I'm glad you kind of, you refreshed my, you hit my refresh button for a second.
All right.
He's a cult leader.
Yeah.
Man, is exactly what it is.
Uh-huh.
The thing about cult leaders, and some people would call us cult leaders, but I don't think that's true.
No, you guys are fine.
You guys are fine.
Just keep listening.
No, but really, the thing about cult leaders.
Keep being patrons.
usually a cult leader is someone with maybe some exceptional advanced intelligence, someone pretty smart.
Not us.
Surrounded by a bunch of stupid people.
Not you guys. Definitely not you guys.
No, we got awesome motherfuckers to listen to this
show. Oh, for sure. We have the best. Yeah, the best fans.
Absolute best. But in terms of a cult, that's for me how a cult normally, where you got a bunch of dumb people being led by someone. They're like, oh, man. We're all fucking potato munchers. We better follow this guy.
But in a way, I mean, you can't, in this situation especially, you can't necessarily say that everybody is that followed him is dumb, as more so the fact that this is all they ever knew. So, I mean, if, you know, we're taught certain things, I mean, we were taught growing up that fucking Christopher Columbus was a hero. You know what I mean? And like,
he was. Now, he found America.
It's like, but now that you know better, it's like you realize he was a
criminal.
He's the fucking worst of the worst.
He was a treasonous fucking war
rapist.
Criminal,
and yeah.
Murderer.
So, I mean, it's like, it's one of those things where, and the boys, obviously, they didn't get the same exact treatment that the girls did. So, I mean, it's easy for them to say, you know what, he's a good guy. He, you know, he taught us well, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, it's, yeah, you don't.
Bad deal, dude.
Good people don't do shit like that. But, I mean, if it's all you know what I mean? It's like, what really do you have to base anything else off of? You probably think everybody else is exactly going through the same shit, and that's just how it is.
Awful situation.
Yeah, it's wild.
Now the Wessons, they spooked their neighbors a little bit. Marcus, like I said, he weighed about 400 pounds, and the neighbors said he was one, quote, one big, long, greasy dreadlock. It was just so caked in dirt and oil.
Yeah.
And when Marcus would go outside, the women actually followed him, and the women would wear dark robes, and they would walk behind him in silence with their eyes pointed downwards. And when they lived on the tugboat, the girls, they would row the tugboat to shore, and they would let Marcus off. It was like they were all his personal slaves.
And rowing his fat ass across the fucking water.
400 fucking pounds, dude.
And you're like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Like, rowing his big fucking chubby ass.
Ah, shit! Are we there yet?
The fucking boat's like, the boat's starting to capsize, and you're getting smacked in the head with an oar because you're not rowing fast enough.
Dude, you see that fucking, you see that fish scandal going on right now?
It's all over TikTok.
We got weights of these fish.
Call the police.
What the fuck? Fuck you! Where's your crown now? We got weights in these fucking fans.
I just love that they were all just shaming that dude. Like, right? He was just sitting there. He was just sitting there, like, defeated, and they were fucking shitting on him.
As a novice fisherman, that's essentially the same as.
Let's talk to our friend that's a fisherman about that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man.
Charlie, let's talk to him about it.
And I kind of got the same, we talked about it a little bit. But,
fucking lead weights.
Yeah. The part that people don't realize is while there were lead weights mm-hmm. in there.
He was fillets. He was shoving fillets in there too.
Cut up other fish.
Yeah.
And shoved those down inside the fish.
They were pulling out perfectly cut fillets out of this fish.
I'm like, hey, don't throw that away. We can make a beer batter. That bitch need it.
He like I was dying on it because like I'm like when the guy starts yelling, call the police. I'm like, what the fuck are the police gonna do? Well, but then I thought about it. I'm like, if there's a prize involved, yeah. That's fraud right there.
So these guys have made upwards of six figures from these fishing tournaments.
Jesus.
That was a walleye tournament.
It was a walleye, yeah.
That would have been a bass tournament, dude.
Yeah.
Where there is, well, for like Bassmasters and shit.
There were still some good-looking fucking walleyes that guy caught, too.
That's what me and my dad, that's what we were
fishing
for.
Those were good fish.
That fish tastes so good.
Does it really?
Oh, my God, they taste so good.
Oh, man.
That's why I'm like, why are you motherfuckers weighing, though? Let's eat them bitches. Put some chuck wagon on those and eat them.
Is it typical practice for them to cut them open to check, or did they just have just have a hunch?
No, it's not. And,
Was it because they were that much heavier than the next person's?
I think there were people that were suspicious.
Okay, gotcha.
But what would it be for them, that circuit, to buy a fucking $2,000 x-ray machine?
Sure.
That would solve all their, like, run their fish through an x-ray machine. Yeah. But then I was talking to one of my other buddies that fishes.
Buy a metal detector.
And this is a dirty trick, man. And, I was talking to my other buddy. He said that what they'll do is they'll take fish traps.
Mm-hmm.
If they know they have a big tournament on Lake Anderson.
Yeah, this was Erie, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
It was on Erie? Okay, I thought so.
So they'll go to Lake Anderson a few days before the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They'll catch a fucking hog, big one. They'll put it inside of a cage, like a fish trap.
To keep it alive.
Put it down in the water, and then the day of the tournament, take off to that where they got that cage at, pull the cage up, get the big fish out of it, and then they're already they're already ahead of the game.
Gotcha.
Yeah, dude. There's some dirt. I'm sure there's a lot more other dirty tricks. But he said, "We got weights in these fish." I didn't know what was going on. I initially got the long version.
Yeah,
the 15 minute version on mm-hmm. YouTube. I'm watching. I'm like, this is the dumbest shit I've ever seen. It's just a bunch of stupid fucking hillbillies standing around weighing fish. And I clicked out of it, and they said, go to the 13-minute mark.
Dude, they were so fucking mad.
I go 13 minutes, and immediately this guy's digging a fucking knife into these guts and tearing them open.
That's the closest thing to like a lynch mob I think I've ever seen before.
Yeah. Those guys were going to kill them.
You would have thought it was the villagers hunting Shrek. Torches and fucking pitchforks.
I felt bad for that guy standing there. I was like, he's going to die. He's going to fucking die.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it was two guys, but it was only one dude standing there getting the brunt. The other dude skirted off.
He's like, hey, bro, I know. That's what's up. I know what we did. And they kind of talking weird. I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, the other dude got the fuck out of there, but the other dude was just like taking the whole thing.
We got weights in these fish.
Did that guy ever talk? Like, he didn't say anything the entire time they were
probably
like outing him.
Himself. I fucking know, dude.
Man, that was shit's wild.
Oh, man.
It made me pay attention to fishing for a couple days.
Yeah, dude.
Fucking TikTok did force it down my fucking throat. So.
So all the boys in the family moved out of the house when they were old enough, and as did most of the girls. However, two of the daughters, Sabrina Wesson and Elizabeth...
Whoa, that's Sabrina? That's how that's spelled? S-E-B-H-R-E-N-A-H.
Sabrina, yeah.
Bro.
That's some hood shit right there.
Yeah, that's that fucking master fucking spelling. Massa.
Two of the daughters, there's also Elizabeth Briani Wesson, which is not the Elizabeth he married.
I like that Briani. That's a fun name.
And one of the nieces, Rosa Solorio, stayed with their father into adulthood, supporting the family. So they would pay for him to, you know, for the shelter and food and all that shit. There were also several young children who still lived in the house.
Ooh.
In 2003, the family, that's when they bought the office building. The older kids bought that for them, that they would eventually be evicted from. And they were evicted from it. They never...
You don't think?
They never fully left it because something happened. But yeah, they got evicted because it wasn't the
zone for residents. You can't buy an office space and live in it.
Sure. But on March 12th, 2004, Marcus received a visit from Ruby Ortiz and Sophia Solorio. They were his nieces.
Mm-hmm.
They moved out, but they still had children in the house. The two women came to the house, and Marcus started shouting at them for them to leave, calling them Judas, Lucifer, and whores.
Damn.
Whore is such a good word when using the word.
Whore.
Get out of here, you whores! Such a good
word. Strong word.
It is.
Yeah.
And the reason those women were there is they still had kids living in the residence. They wanted their children. This was essentially a child custody dispute. They wanted their fucking kids back. The two women did not get their children that day. So what did they do? They called the police. They requested a peace officer exchange.
Mm.
They said, he's got our kids inside. We want him back. The cops came. The cops called their city attorney. The city attorney said, hey, motherfucker, there's nothing we can do. There's no custody paperwork. He doesn't have to let the kids go if he doesn't want to.
Huh.
So at that point, the cops are kind of like, sorry, ladies, there's nothing we can do here. Then his wife, Elizabeth, the one that he married when she was 14, her and one other woman, they came storming out of the house. And they said that Marcus had a gun.
Ooh.
So then the police are like, well, fuck yeah, we get to shoot a fucking black guy. And they,
they were fucking foaming at the mouth.
Jacking off, yeah.
Nick, wouldn't he have been a felon by this point?
He was, yeah.
Or was it just misdemeanors that he got locked up on?
I can't say for sure.
I don't know. Yeah.
But they did call in the SWAT team immediately once they come out and said that he had a gun.
Yeah, black man with a gun, they're gonna SWAT him.
unfortunately, that's the... That's the way it goes right now. And the SWAT team, they came in. They're devising their plan. And then one by one, they start hearing gunshots from inside the home. They can't really figure out what the fuck is going on. They can't see what's going on. But just as they start to get hot and heavy, get really set up, Marcus exits the residence, hands up, covered in blood, calmly. All 6'2", 400 pounds of this nasty, matted, dreadlock fuck.
It's so much hair.
He walks out of the house with his hands up, covered in blood.
Ugh.
Calmly exits the house. As he surrenders to the arresting officers, other officers rushed inside the home. Despite the sunny afternoon, the building was dark and silent. Against one wall, several coffins were stacked up. Remember, he bought those at the antique store. While this did cause the officers to have the heebie-jeebies, it didn't stop them from pushing forward, or as we like to call them here at the Brohio Podcast, the ooey-gooeys.
Fucking ooey-gooeys.
Remember, ladies, you have a homework assignment this week.
I got to fucking piss, dude. I'm about to piss my pants right now.
Okay, well, sorry, man. Just,
I've been holding for so long.
Just fucking say something, dude. Sorry. Robert's going to pee. All right, Robert, he peed.
I did pee.
It was a little baby pee. It was
a good one. I feel a lot better.
Sometimes he just pees.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit, not all of it.
That's true, yeah. Sometimes I empty my bladder, and other times I just like...
take the edge off.
Yeah, yeah.
It's called edging.
Exactly.
Yes.
I like edging.
You guys should look up edging on the internet.
Yeah. Teaches you wonderful things.
So what the officers found in the house or the office, it was fucking horrific. Some of the cops that stormed the building, they had to go on administrative leave or into counseling from I guess the effects suffered from what they saw inside that office that they were all living in. So inside, covered in blood, was a pile of bodies. Some of which were children. Each had been shot through the eye.
Oh, God.
Because they were all in such a tangle, it would take many hours before the police could even determine how many victims there were, and it would be several days before they were all identified. They were identified as Sabrina, age 25, Elizabeth, age 17, Illabel, age 8. Aviv, age 7. Jonathan, age 7. Sidonia, age 2. Marche, age 2. And Ethan, age 4. Along with last, Java. Oh. Java was a one-year-old baby.
I hate to say it, but Illabel isn't a name.
Not anymore. She's fucking dead.
Jesus Christ.
Damn.
Here's my thing, dude.
Illabel.
By listening to this story, this is polar, and I'm not expressing political views or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have people that are against abortions,
mm-hmm,
and people that are not against abortions.
Sure.
I feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know what that is, I don't give a fuck what you do.
Yep.
That's what I say.
Not my body.
But, right, not my choice.
Yeah, I can't tell you what to do with your own body.
But for the proponents of not allowing abortions, what's one of the main reasons that someone who's against abortions, what's one of the main reasons they would allow an abortion? In the event of rape and incest, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
All of these children were conceived incestuously.
Right.
Well, I'm sad that so many people lost their life. Yes, this is a very fucking sad,
yeah, especially
story.
This, it's literally all, almost all. I mean, you could even debate that the oldest at 25 is still a fucking child.
Possibly, possibly not. It's hard for us to say.
At 25, I was still a fucking child.
I'm 35 and I'm
still
a child.
Yeah, I'm about to be 36 and I'm still a fucking child. I don't know what I'm doing with my life and I feel a lot more lost now than I ever have.
Yeah, but I would have to imagine that some of these children that were killed were perhaps living a life that there was just no quality of life.
Sure.
And an awful situation to be born into. This guy took so much joy from so many people. And while it is sad they all died, I feel like there was never going to be a good, no matter what happened to everyone in the story.
It's, I mean, you almost wonder if it's worth the years and years of mental help and, you know, struggles that they will go through pretty much for the rest of their lives.
But you know, we didn't know these kids.
True.
So, you know, it's,
that's why it's one of those things where it's like, it's hard to like assume or try to like rationalize anything because
it
like you don't know. And I mean, when you vary from age 1 to 25, there's so many different takes.
And if these kids are living happy, healthy lives, that fucking breaks my heart, dude.
For sure.
No kid deserves to endure the terror and horror of a fucking monster like this. I wish what would have happened is he would have just fucking blown his brains out and just let all these people live. But you really have to question the quality of life for some of these people. What it was, they're obviously getting beat with sticks and electric cords and ball bats.
Yeah.
Is somebody saying something really mean on the YouTube
channel? No, they're... This is a cheap plug for a Riff in Time podcast that R.I.P. Queen Elizabeth. That's a fucking good one.
Yeah, keep them coming. Elizabeth.
So good. What about the fucking sausage fingers on King Charles?
Dude. I know, man.
Jesus Christ. Those fuckers are monstrous.
He fingers you and you're dying.
He has to have diabetes.
It's poor circulation for sure.
Dude, his fucking, that ring that he had on has on his finger is ingrained in his flesh.
That finger's like, please, God, help the king. Get this thing. Get me off of his finger. Please. God, save the king.
He said those poor rings. Yeah, those fucking rings don't stand a chance.
Gnarly, man. That's a bad situation over there, too.
Yeah, it is.
In trying to determine next of kin, the coroner had DNA testing done on the victims. And what the investigators found out, they're trying to dabble in the DNA, and they said, for fuck's sake, all this DNA is the same. All these people have the same DNA.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. It's because
on multiple levels,
incestuous cult.
You got cousins that are sisters and...
And I think the dreadlocks had its own zip code.
Fuck yeah, they did. We're not giving these dreadlocks enough credit. These things are like a world caliber worthy dreadlocks. Like, if you aspire to be like if you're a dreadlock aficionado, he really is your king here.
These are the dreads you want.
Your Jiva, Jivam, what was it? The Jesus Master Jehovah.
Jehovah Master Marcus Vampire.
There you go.
The McTrash Can dreadlocks.
Yeah, yeah. That's your man right there.
This case is actually considered to be the worst mass murder in Fresno, California history. Before the trial even began, Marcus was still fighting for control. He delayed his arraignment twice, insisting that he didn't want a public defender, but wanted to hire his own lawyers. He would actually be represented by David Mugridge and Harry Harvey. They sound like a fucking good attorneys. Hi there. Have you been injured in an accident? My name's Gary Harvey from Harvey and Brothers. That sounds like a good lawyer name, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Gary Harvey. It wasn't clear.
That's exactly what I would think he'd sound like.
I know. Hi. Have you been bit on the face by a dog?
We put liquid paper on a bee.
My name's Gary Harvey from Harvey and Sons Law Firm. If you've ever been bit on the face by a dog or a cat, and you're still feeling the effects from it, I can help you. Remember, if you're trying to escape your home, if your wife's kicked you out because you're a vampire, you have options.
You gotta have the voice where they always sound like they're out of breath.
If you've ever been sexually assaulted during a surgery, if you've ever had your gown lifted up around your neck and your crotch ripped out of your underwear during surgery, call Gary Harvey Law Firm and Sons. We can get you the compensation.
So relatable.
We can get you the compensation you so deserve. Remember, we're not licensed in Alaska, Texas, Ohio, Iowa, Indiana, Kentucky, Maine, or any of the other states.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that's so fucking good. That's perfect. I don't think I've ever heard a more spot-on impression that you've ever done than what I expect these fuckers to sound like. They're just fucking winging it. Can you imagine being his fucking his fucking lawyer that he paid for?
He's like, hi there, Mr. Wesson. My name's Gary Harvey. This is my associate, Mr. Mugridge.
It fucking just sounds like he just pulled it out of the fucking dirt.
No credit card, no problem. We accept Cash App, Venmo, and PayPal.
EBT on request.
Unless you've been found guilty of welfare fraud.
Oh shit.
It wasn't clear if Wesson could afford his own lawyers. Okay. But ultimately, Wesson was represented by public defenders Peter Jones and Ralph Torres.
Okay, that's a lot more.
And he was trying to hire David Mugridge and Gary Harvey. But what he ended up getting was Peter Jones and Ralph Torres. On March 3rd, 2005, Marcus's trial finally started.
God, that was so good.
He was charged with 9 counts of first-degree murder and 14 counts of molestations and rape.
Holy shit.
As members of his family testified, many of whom were still loyal to him.
Wow.
The jury came to learn of the horrors that Marcus had inflicted upon his family. His defense claimed that he didn't kill anyone, that Sabrina had actually pulled the trigger, murdering the children and then herself. And evidence was quite close to saying that that could have been the case. The evidence was inconclusive. In fact, there were no prints on the gun, but her DNA was. Her body was on top of all the others, and the murder weapon, a .22 caliber Ruger MK2, was found underneath of her.
I'm still boggled at how they fucking spelled that name. That's the most, like, that's like basic white bitch spelling right there.
Sounds like somebody's choking.
Sabrina.
However, it's not known if she lay where she fell or was placed there, and the same can be said about the gun. You'll remember that when he did exit the building, he was covered in blood. But the evidence, the story that he told suggests that he might have been telling the truth, that he didn't kill anybody. But, you know, at the end of the day, he did kill these people. He trained them for this event. That in the event that someone tried to come and break up their home, that they were instructed to kill one another and kill themselves. But the gunshot wound in her head was inconclusive as well, while consistent with a... It was, in fact, consistent with a self-inflicted wound. A shot at close range couldn't be ruled out either. The cause of death was determined to be immediate perforation of brain caused by gunshot wound to the face. Illabelle died of a contusion of the brain after being shot in the face. All nine victims were gathered by Marcus, even his daughters, Sabrina and Kiana, and three of his nieces, Safina Solario, Ruby Sanchez, and Rosie Solario, close to the investigation advised. Ruby and Safina's testimony showed that Marcus had complete control over the family and that he had commanded them to commit this act if the police ever tried to interfere. Having Sabrina kill the children, then herself, would fit his pattern of having the woman perform everything like he had done up until this point. So this is pretty much everything that he planned for. And the way he planned for it to happen, this is exactly how he wanted it to happen. So they would all die, but maybe keep his hands a little clean. And I don't know if, they weren't buying that. In the end, it didn't matter to the jury who actually pulled the trigger. Marcus Wesson was found guilty on all counts, and on June 27, 2005, he was sentenced to 102 years
for
the rape and molestation charges.
It's still crazy he didn't get death.
Well, for the murders of his children and grandchildren, he received the death penalty.
Okay.
And he was sent to San Quentin Prison, the nation's largest death row, but in, I think it's Governor Newsom from California in 2019, he signed a temporary halt of death of the death penalty. So no one in California can be put to death right now.
You make an exception? I mean, yeah. Come on.
Fucking cut those dreads and choke them with it.
I mean, if you get a 102-year sentence, you're fucking going to die in prison regardless.
He got 102 for the rape charges.
Yeah.
He got the death penalty for
just
the murder charges.
Just finish the fucking deal, man. I'm so pro death penalty. I'm not gonna go without getting political. Yeah, fucking kill him.
Yeah, this dude has to die.
Pedos, I'll just fucking get rid of them all.
I hope he dies right now.
Yeah,
this is a sick story, man.
Yeah,
he did some bad shit. He completely brainwashed these people.
Yeah,
he had them brainwashed into thinking he was an okay dude.
We're talking about a murdering, raping pedo. Fucking down the drain. Put him in one of those tin coffins that he bought at a fucking antique shop.
What if President Biden, he goes on the news tomorrow and he says,
I always say,
if you
catch a fly with a bicycle, then your pudding's going to turn out great.
What if Joe Biden went on the news tomorrow and he said, we're going to kill him. We're going to give Marcus Wesson the death penalty, but the only way we're going to allow it to happen is if Nick and Rob will fuck him first.
I'd consider it.
I'd fuck him to mean if it meant he died for sure.
Yeah, he's a big, strong man, though, so I mean, I don't know if I could get the physical advantage on him.
He's a quarter of the size now that he was.
So he's very, he's depleted. He's
a frail old man.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not eating like a fucking...
Yeah, I guess, he was born in the 40s, you said?
Yeah, 46.
I'd fuck the shit out of him.
Yeah, dude.
He ain't getting one over me.
He got, that gas station bussies. That's what I'd be getting.
He's got the bussy.
I'd be getting his bussy.
Dude, one whiff of them fucking dreads, though, man. Smell like mayonnaise left in the sun.
Yeah, I remember in high school there was someone we grew up with, and he was trying to get dreads.
Mm-hmm.
And one day they had packets of mayonnaise from the cafeteria, and they were putting mayonnaise in his hair. And I said, "What the fuck is going on here?" They said, "We're trying to give him dreads."
Yeah, I don't think you really have to do that. I think that was just a misconception when we were kids.
Yeah, no, but they were about it. They were doing it full send.
Yeah,
dreads. I mean, I've smelled some good smelling dreads before.
I haven't, but I will say, I think they look cool as fuck.
Yeah, they do.
They look really fucking cool, especially if they're good ones. Like if they're like dreaded all the way down to the scalp, like, and they're they look really fucking good.
Sure.
But yeah, you have to have the style to pull those off.
You do. And sometimes they're yucky.
For sure, for sure. I'd say 7 out of 10 times they're going to be yucky.
If someone saw my butt, they would accuse me of having dreads, which would be hurtful to me.
Sure, sure. I'm right there. I'm more so.
So what we got from this episode is my mom's not going to make a blanket out of my underwear.
Too many poop stains and holes.
Because she's lazy.
Yeah, she doesn't love you enough.
She doesn't care.
Nah.
Doesn't love me.
Yeah, it's true.
She has spent all the love that she's going to spend on me.
That's true, yeah.
I think that's the best way to describe what my mom thinks of me.
Yeah.
Is she's already invested everything that she's going to invest.
Yeah. Also, never forget she patched a hole in one of my football jerseys when I was a kid.
Yep. That's what she does.
She's the best, man. She really is.
She is. Dude, if I would have taken those underwear to her.
My mom fucking put cigarettes out on my neck. And here your mom is patching my football jerseys.
How did you end up like kind of normal and I'm so fucked up? The thing is if I went over there to her house, like wearing those crotchless underwear.
Yeah.
And dropped trowel with my balls hanging out and said, "Mom, these are my favorite."
Yeah.
She'd been like, "Just throw them away." And I say, "Mom, you don't understand. These underwear mean a lot to me.
These are form-fitting after all these years." She'd say,
"Well, come here. Let me pin them together so I can figure out where I'm going to sew." She'd fix them for me.
I'm sure she would,
And then she'd use some crusty-ass fabric she had laying around to patch them up. She'd be like, "I didn't have any like Duluth spandex to patch them with, so I used a pair of your dad's old work pants."
She'd cut out the crotch of one of your dad's underwear.
I'd have half Dickies, half fucking... Dick. Duluth. I'd have half a dickie in underwear.
Oh God,
I'd have a dickie do.
I got one of those.
Yeah, me too.
If you don't know what a dickie do is, that's when your stomach sticks out farther than your dickie do.
Yeah, if you got a dickie do, send us an email, brohiopodcast@gmail.com.
Oh God. Whew.
Yeah, it's been a fun episode, huh?
Man, yeah, I'm fucking crying.
Well, how long did we get? We got 1 hour and 37 minutes.
Hell fucking yeah.
Out of about 6 pages of research.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, 9 solid pages. That's a...
No, it's because if I take the stuff off the top.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, because we had a lot of patrons. We've been gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Good shit, huh?
That's fucking awesome, man.
All right, guys. We'll catch you on the flip side.
We doing a Zoom?
Sure, if you want.
Fuck yeah, let's do a Zoom, brother.
All right. We love you guys.
Love you guys. See you. Bye.